this meeting in order, so special services, it is 1:30.
We really lost a lot of acreage because of that.
People, council people that are in attendance, Councilman Weiner, I'm just going by who checked in first, Councilwoman Janet Kirkpatrick.
So I get this.
Councilwoman Diller, Councilman Powers, Councilman Smalley, myself, Councilman Bell.
This is the newest.
And not Councilman Cartier. So, what's your privilege on the minutes?
Approve the minutes of March 7th meeting.
Motion made and second. Question on the motion. All of approval, accept the minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we do have a meeting at 2:30, a personnel meeting. I don't look for this to go over an hour. But we're going to start with the Brandywine 100 sewer rehabilitation update.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, Mr. Bell.
Question.
Sure.
Since we have several guests here this afternoon and some representation of folks that have been involved in this whole sewer initiative and farmland preservation, would it be out of order to ask consideration from the chair to move the potential sewer service in the Eastern Wing? Discuss that first, since we've talked about the other areas quite a bit, but
sure, that's no problem. We'll move number five to number four. Is that okay?
Do you have a motion?
I'm
going to make a motion, go out of order, and go to number eight.
That's jumping just a hair too far, Mr. Smiley.
I did try to help.
A motion's on the floor to put number five, the potential from the southern sewer, to number three, and then we'll get back and just replace the Brandywine afterwards. Motion's made, second, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, just let the record show that Councilman Hollins is here.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, with further ado, if you guys need to take a second, go from number five, but we'll talk about the southern sewer, if you don't mind.
Great. Tracy Searles with the Special Services Department. I was asked by both Councilman Powers and Bell to specifically talk about the infrastructure that would be required should certain provisions of settlement agreements be triggered to service this area that we refer to as the area east of the Eastern Core, or of the Central Core, east of the Eastern Core. So, and I think you all are familiar with the properties, the Penfield Buster property, the Warren Track, and the Port Penn Assemblage. I brought copies of both of the settlement agreements. I know Council's probably seen them before, but just in case, they're very clear as to the infrastructure that the county is to build, and they include this map as an attachment. So I just, if Council wants any clarification, I thought I would bring copies with me.
Are there two? Are you saying?
They're basically the same, but they're two separate agreements.
Oh, okay.
So just for clarification, one of the agreements is between, is with respect to this property here with the Richland Partnership in Newcastle County. The second agreement is between Mr. Warren, the property owner, Cole Brothers, and Newcastle County. I'll give you a minute.
That's the second one.
And bear with me, I'm going through this kind of on a basic level just because I think there have been questions raised about the infrastructure plans for the area, which really stem from this agreement that was reached. So I thought I would just go back to it. Paragraph 2 of both agreements, they're very similar, talks about the county force main. The county agrees to construct at its own cost and expense a force main line from the current Central Core facilities underneath Route 1 and 13 to a point on Port Penn Road just east of the existing Central Core. And the county had placed a sleeve under Route 1 to facilitate this force main. So the agreement has always been very specific as to what our obligation would be. Paragraph 4 is specific as to the construction timing for the county force main. The county would have to commence construction within 60 days of receiving written notice of commencement of construction of the development's infrastructure, and shall complete the county's improvements so that sewer would be available at the first certificate of occupancy for those neighborhoods.
General Manager, Can we, I know where that's 13 and so forth, but is that where it comes out? Is that where the sleeve, where's actually the sleeve that goes underneath the road?
Jason Zern is an engineer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
In the area department, and he's actually responsible for all of our sewer projects. So he's going to give you a more accurate description.
Oh, okay. Am I jumping on?
No, you're perfect. Okay, that's why he's here. So.
Yeah, just for reference, this is Hikes Corner Road. Mm-hmm. The sleeves are just east of that. I mean, this is Route 1. This is Route 13, DuPont Parkway. So the sleeves are approximately in that location. They were actually placed years and years ago when Route 1 was just being constructed. So we actually did some long-term planning there. So that's the plan. You know, the Chesdale Diner's, you know, more or less on the corner here. So this is kind of a basic graphical representation of what we intend to build.
So what the blue is what Newcastle County has to put in. That's the entire sleeve.
Well, no, the sleeve is
just
the road on Route 1.
Gotcha.
We'll have to construct, you know, normal construction methods, a force main. Again, generally speaking, across to Route 13 north. Again, we haven't worked out any details if it's better to go, you know, which side of 13, mm-hmm. but then up to Port Penn Road.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilman, my understanding was that the questions have been more related to the infrastructure. So if now is a good time, you know, to pause, I want to make sure that I answer.
I'm more than glad to. When we say forced main, explain to the novice, like novice driver. Okay, I'm a novice on sewer, so I don't have a sticker or anything on my back. But the thing is, kind of explain like forced main. And is there a need for a pump station? Because at one point, under the Prudence administration, there was talk about the toll plaza tying into the sewer, and a pump station was mentioned at that time. So how does all this come together? So force main, and then how does this come together for the other property? I see where you're terminating it there on the other side of the Penfield, bless your property, the entrance here. But how does all this extend out? Who pays for what? I guess, you know, maybe kind of take it a little bit further as to where we're, what's our path forward and what's required.
Absolutely. It sounds like you went the more technical version, so I will let Jason do that for you.
So the two different ways we transmit sewer in Newcastle County is either by gravity or by a pump, so much similar to a water distribution system where water is pumped to your house under a pressure or a force, and that's why when you turn on the faucet, the water comes out. A sewer force main kind of works in opposite. It takes the sewer from your house, typically by gravity through a lateral, through some kind of gravity system, so the pipes underground are sloped in such a way that it can move via gravity to some kind of discharge point. If it can't go by gravity all the way to the treatment plant, there must be some way to pump it uphill or, you know, against gravity. So it the gravity system would discharge into a pump station that then pumps or pressurizes the sewer through a pipe system into, again, wherever it goes, either a treatment plant or another gravity system. So the term force main simply represents a sewer main that, again, kind of transmits sewer via force or a pressure.
And where would that pump station be located to accept that sewer and be able to force main it?
We haven't determined anything as far as in this region. Generally speaking, it all runs to the lowest point. So again, gravity runs downhill. So when it has to go uphill, the pump stations are typically located at the low point of a region, so that it can facilitate gravity to it, and then it pumps it uphill, so to speak, to another, again, either gravity or treatment plant.
So will this extension require a pump station at some point?
At some point, yes.
Okay. So is that pump station, and Mr. Chairman, if I could, because I was...
No, it's, I'm open the floor until somebody else wants to...
Is that pump station also being planned as part of the overall cost? Because yesterday, you know, we were discussing the special services budget. Wasn't trying to be smart, just trying to make sure that we have sufficient funding. to handle what's required to accomplish the goal here.
Right. Well, again, the goal of this is simply to meet the requirements of the settlement agreement. So there are no plans, as far as I know, to construct anything in this region more than that force main.
So, Councilman, what's pretty typical with developments, not just here, is if a development needs to connect to existing county infrastructure and it cannot do so entirely by gravity, then a pump station will be required. And those pump stations are designed and constructed by the developer, and upon completion and approval, turned over to the county to maintain. But the cost of design and construction is borne by the developer. So when you look at these, so the county's commitment was to come to this point, it would be upon these property owners or developers to get to this point, to obtain the necessary easements, run the necessary infrastructure, including any pump stations. And what typically happens is the engineer for any record plan would be proposing, as they lay out the development, you know, the best location for a pump station, and that would come through our process for review that it meets our standards, but we're not actually the ones that say it has to go here. You know, we might have some, we might provide input, but a lot of that's going to depend on how they lay out the neighborhood, the homes, the stormwater, the grading, etc.
If I can, as an example,
would the state be required, if they tied in the Delaware Toll Plaza, which is on septic, would there be a requirement on site? No.
They're pumping haul.
They're pumping haul.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
It's worse.
Okay, it's not septic, it's pumping haul.
But for their situation, it's the same. They would be under the same kind of requirements. They would, you know, they're located up here somewhere, so they would be required to get to that point. We would not extend sewer specifically for them.
Make sure Mr. Bell's done.
Okay. Well, the other question was the extension out to the Warren Track, the Court Penn Assemblage in general, because there's more than just the Lester Farm, the J. Lester Farm, Penfield, and the Gary Warren farm out of Port Penn Assemblage. So how does that get from there out to the connector on Port Penn Road?
Yeah, that's what the engineer that's developed would develop a plan to put in the infrastructure. There would likely be a pump station somewhere in this area to service these properties, and then it would be a force main that would push the flow. There would have to be easements acquired and a force main constructed to meet the rest
and
of the infrastructure.
And who pays for that sewer line to come out there?
The developer, yes.
Okay. Councilman Powers and Councilman Cardio.
First thing, right where the hook is where the toll plaza is. It's not any further north. What would really help with this is the elevations, because that where the hook is the lowest point for the toll plaza is. I mean, I don't know what that is. It probably goes up 30 feet up from there, and I can understand probably from the Warren that you probably got to pump over a ridge that goes downhill. But the hook on, as even you said, at the lowest point is going to be at the bottom of that hill for the toll plaza. So if they were going to hook in, they'd have to put in a pump station probably themselves. And the other question is, what size is this force main?
We haven't determined that yet, because we are still in the, you know, working with the developers.
What size is it on the other side of this leak?
This side is the gravity system. I believe it's 24-inch gravity pipe.
Okay, so you got to have probably a 12-inch equal 24 gravity.
There's a lot of engineering that goes involved, both the length of the force main, the elevation that you have to overcome from that, the amount of flow. All of that has to go into consideration before you size the pipe.
But I mean, in general, the force mains have to size them, correct?
Well, correct. They're typically a little bit smaller than a gravity line. Like the smallest force main we would accept is 4 inches, 4-inch diameter pipe, and the smallest gravity pipe is 8 inches.
I know when it first came to council, they were saying a pump station about where close to where you ended it, and the agreement's probably changed from that, but that was how many years ago? In 10?
At least. I don't know when that agreement was.
No, this agreement was, I think, November of 2010 and January of 2011.
Really?
So.
Yeah, we placed it too. But it, you know, I knew probably, you know, you're right. I mean, if you're coming up over a ridge and going downhill, you're going to gain some pressure. It's, so you don't know what side.
Correct.
Councilman Carteret?
While we're talking about cost considerations and overall, you're claiming that the developer is responsible for extending the sewer to the point in which we construct. Explain to me how the capital recovery fee structure we've designed for connection to sewer, how that plays out in this scenario.
So the capital recovery fee was updated when the sewer plan was revised to focus on the central core. So that capital recovery fee is based on the county infrastructure. Their share of the cost for just what the county builds. Then all of this cost is unrelated in the sense that it doesn't factor into that fee. It's just borne solely by the developers of those parcels. County only includes its capital projects in calculating that fee.
Councilman Bell?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tracy, from the standpoint of the connector coming across, explain to me that the sewer that will be extended out from the Warren track out to that connector, okay, as well as the Penfield property, that sewer would then go through the line over into the central core?
Correct.
Okay. Well, I'm not an engineer, and I was joking a little bit about novice. But we have a we have an intent of what to do, but it's quoted yesterday at $1.5 million. So how can you quote $1.5 million when it hasn't even been designed as far as the size, number one? And you know, we're not sure whether there needs to be a pump station or not, but here's my question. $1.5 million projected without any size even being presented, so it could be well over $1.5 million. But why wouldn't we take the Port Penn assemblage and the Penfield Lester property, and instead of taking sewer from those two properties along that Port Penn corridor, why would we pump it back over into the central core only to be pumped back across Route 13 back to Water Farm 1? Because the central core right now is connected. We saved over $1 million a year instead of pumping it to Middletown. Why would we be pumping it back into an area and then pump it right back across Route 13 at a lower point to take it to Water Farm 1? Why wouldn't we use the Augustine Creek connector and pump station that is less than a mile from the Port Penn assemblage and is right across the creek from the Penfield Buster property, and that Augustine Creek pump station and sewer line ties into Water Farm 1? Why, it amazes me from an engineering standpoint that we would take, pump it back into the central core and then pump it back into the east side and down to Water Farm 1. What is the thought process?
Yeah, well, that clearly was not part of the original plan. You know, when this entire area was planned out under the Coons administration and it was to focus on the central core, the concept was Water Farm 1, even though it has some physical capacity, there's record plans in place that it's currently committed at its capacity. So there wasn't really room to add more commitments to Water Farm 1. So this entire area was marked as a service area for Water Farm 2. And that's how the planning was done. And it's not just the planning for the treatment plants themselves. It's the planning for other infrastructure. For example, this is the pump station you referred to in Augustine Creek. It's actually a relatively small pump station. It does not handle this whole development. It handles just a portion of it here. And the system that it then pumps into would be very undersized to take on even one of these developments. So you would end up starting here kind of a chain reaction of upgrades down to Water Farm 1. that in the end we believe would be as or more costly than what's proposed here. The second piece is with taking flows that were going to Middletown to Water Farm 1, we initiated a study of the area because it did change our planning. I mean, we're planners in a sense. The engineering part of this is goes by planning principles and how we allocate flow. And so we're in the process of taking another look at that area, given some of the changes that have taken place. And part of that process is timing out exactly how long can we continue to use Water Farm 1 for this area before it reaches capacity. Because since we took the central core and moved it down to Water Farm 1, we're now going to have a shorter time period in which Water Farm 1 is going to be operating until it reaches capacity. And then we're going to have a plan B, whether that plan B is to somehow expand Water Farm 1, buy additional property, whether plan B is going to be we end up then taking it all back to the central core. A long-term, Water Farm 1 is not a long-term solution for that area. Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't.
Well,
it not only doesn't make sense. Let me ask here, because this thing reeks, as my good friend Councilman Street might say sometimes, I think this thing's starting to reek with a little mischief. And I'll tell you why I think so. Because we saved $1 million and took sewer from the central core, tied it into Water Farm 1, which is nowhere near capacity. Now we're talking about taking a line from the east side, bringing it into the central core, and we're already saying that this may very well take Water Farm 1 to the level where we can't use Water Farm 1. You're saying maybe we would have to buy property. We own Water Farm 2, okay, opposite Parkside, which has never been developed. And I'm just wondering if some of this doesn't have to do with maybe looking at pumping some of that from the central core back to Middletown and paying them to treat our sewer. I hope it doesn't.
I can assure you it does not, and that actually bothers. I mean, honestly, the technical analysis, you've known it. We've been here for how many years saying it was going to go to Water Farm 2, and it changed relatively suddenly a couple of years ago, and I appreciate that. And that's why this department's backed up to say what makes the most sense from a technical perspective. I can tell you, standing here, that our decision's going to be what makes sense from a technical perspective. What are we going to be, how are we going to be able to treat the most flow into the future the most efficiently? You know, that's our role. We are working with Cave Associates currently on studying this area and looking at alternatives, including obviously Water Farm 2, since we have all that property. That's one of the things we're looking at, but it's a technical evaluation being done by Cave Associates. And it's something that I think over the next year, we will be coming back to council and presenting our results and recommendations on the path forward, which will include, you know, timing for other changes as far as sewer infrastructure over time.
Councilman Wander's been waiting patiently.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, may I approach the screen?
Sure can.
Thanks.
We should all have our little whatchamacallit. Oh, and by the way, Council President Karen Hartley Nagel's here.
I don't care.
Present.
Land use is not here, and engineers' jobs are to facilitate. My concern is land use. I think it would be a crime to see this land developed. That's the way I've always felt. And, you know, I know there's been a whole series of events that leave us where we are, but I just think it needs to be said on the record that the Port Penn Road, which takes a jog right here, along with Polebridge Road, when you take a look at the land across from the Warren Tract and around here, this map doesn't do justice to the environmental sensitivity and the beauty of this area. Now, I know that we've done developments where we've taken all the rivulets and wetlands and we've tucked developments into them with the waterways around it. That was an earlier period of time. You know, I just hope we're at a time now where we're more sensitive with development, and that we utilize existing infrastructure rather than trying to build in every square inch of buildable land. I don't know if it does any good for me to say it. I just can't sit at this table without, if you look at this map, it tells a much better story of what a beautiful area this is. And I spend a lot of time, some of you know I have friends that live across the Warren Tract, and whether I'm just walking here or in a four-wheeler, it's just an area of pristine beauty. So whether that means anything, I just needed to say it. And I hope that simply because of the events that this might get developed, I hope that land use, which is not here, understands that it doesn't somehow trigger the developability of the other land. And I recognize that once the county's made an investment in sewer, that it sort of opens the possibility financially of wanting to recoup costs. But I hope that when we factor in costs, we think about the environmental equity of it all as well.
Thank you, Mr. Weiner. Is that the council? No, I'm sure you do. I didn't know if we trace it anymore.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, mm-hmm. everyone for bearing with me here, because you know it's as Councilman Weiner said, and we've said from day one. You know, this council of 13 members, as part of its stewardship, has a responsibility to the environment and to the people of the future. And we're taking one of the most environmentally sensitive and pristine areas, okay, and we're going to sort it, and we're going to develop it. There is no doubt in my mind, sitting here today, I've been on here since 2004, there's no doubt in my mind that once that sewer line is run, I believe there's probably five or more other farms on that road. And you can say anything you want, but if sewer is there, okay, they're going to look towards possibly developing rather than preserving. And it's a shame. It's a crying shame that some of the folks on this council will take the position that they have. And you want to talk about backdooring? I'm going to tell you about backdooring when comments are made publicly on the radio, when comments are made call or bluff. This is what you get instead of being good stewards, calling people's bluff. Because now we've got two of the largest farms in that area going to be developed. You come across that bridge and you look, and the central core where we initially planned was for the growth zone. And the East Corridor, the Fort Penn Corridor, was supposed to be environmentally sensitive. It was supposed to be preserved. And this dates back, and we can look at any document you want to look at, but this dates back to Colin Amera. It dates back to Ed Key, okay, who were all in favor of preserving that area. Part of the watershed, part of the Delaware Bay Initiative and everything. And we're at this point now where we don't even have answers on what the total cost of the sewer is going to be. Even though we want to say $1.5 million, is it $1.5 million? Okay. And Water Farm 2, if it has to be developed because of this growth, there's a cost to that also. Is it going to have to be developed sooner than what it would have been? We have made this happen. And I don't think that, it's being a good steward of our lands, of the future, or anything else. And I've said it before, this isn't personal with me. This is a passion for me to be on County Council. I do it. Love doing it. But I represent the people in my district. Each one of you represent the people in your district. I've got people all along that Fort Penn Corridor that have called me, that have contacted me, that have seen me at the local fruit stand, buying from our local farmer. No farms, no food. Buy local. We all want to say it. But I talk to people and are saying, please, Mr. Bell, don't allow them to overdevelop this area. Okay? And isn't that why we have development there that's on septic today?
and it's the wrong thing to do to take other properties. Lighthouse Farms was passed on septic. It's a shame what we're doing here. It is a crying shame. But the sewer is going to be. Now we need to make sure we get it right. We need to make sure we get the cost right. We make sure that it's put in to accommodate the other farms on that road, because if it's not, then we're shirking our responsibility once again. Not to turn around and have it sized properly. If the developers have to pay for it, they have to pay for it. But what we've opened here is Pandora's box, and have the whole Fort Penn Carter developed with homes. And I hope a few people on this council are satisfied.
Are you, were you finished your, is that, well, you have more?
No, I think I'm good.
Oh, okay. I just want to be sure. Okay. All right then. Well, I mean, that was a half an hour. I'm glad we did move that forward. We're going to go around the public. Anybody from the public on Southern Sewer only, hands up. Yes, sir. Can you stand, please state your name just for that we're recording.
My name's Ed Tarlove, and I am representing the Gillespie Farm. And I'm new to this, and Tracy, I just want to ask you a question. In the settlement agreement, the parties are obviously the county, Toll Brothers, and there are a number of tax parcel numbers that are included right up front on the first page. It doesn't, in my simple point of view, it doesn't say the Gillespie Farm on it. It doesn't include the tax parcel number of the farm, which is part of the Fort Penn assemblage. Mm-hmm. So is it the county's intention that this force main is the service, the Gillespie Farm, as part of that Toll Brothers settlement?
So are you asking me if the Gillespies and the Lesters are covered by the existing agreement then, I think is what you're saying?
Yes.
They weren't parties to the litigation. They were not parties to the settlement agreement. Even though those parcels are listed on the agreement, Toll was the developer at the time, and Toll is a party to the agreement. I'm hesitating a little bit because my role, I think you're asking a pretty a legal question that probably needs the answer, the official answer needs to come from the county attorney. But I do think just on its face, they're not viewed as parties to this agreement. They weren't part of the litigation, and they're not parties to the agreement.
But is it the intention of the county to include those properties, not?
This has been such an issue. I'm trying to be very clear on what I'm saying,
well,
so that there's not a misunderstanding. If the requirements in the agreement are triggered, that would include Fort Penn assemblage. If Toll comes back and they have the plan, the original Toll or the original Fort Penn assemblage plan, then that agreement would be triggered, as I read it on its face, and we would plan for that. I don't know, I think from a technical perspective, I think you're asking a legal question, because we're gonna build probably the same infrastructure regardless. So I think your question is probably more of a legal question.
Well, how about from a technical perspective then? What do you think? I'm not asking a legal question, I'm saying, is there enough sewer from that force main?
There is, yes.
To service the Gillespie property.
Yes, that force main, yes.
Again, we haven't sized anything.
Right.
So it could be sized anyway to accommodate.
But it would likely be large enough to include that. It might not be large enough to include that entire area, because we've had discussions of building out the entire area.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm just kind of likely to be large enough to take the Fort Penn assembly property.
Okay.
From a
sewer
perspective.
Okay.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick and Councilman Hollins both had their hands up, so I'll go ladies first and then Councilman Hollins right after.
The agreement states that on the Warren agreement, it states that it's the for the development containing 631 housing units, which was basically the number of units in what was the original assemblage.
Correct.
Okay.
Councilman Hollins?
I think, Mr. Chair, I just want to be careful that we don't get back to what it's
Yes, exactly.
That's where I'm comfortable.
This is on the record, and trying to force an answer when it's clearly been stated as a legal question. Yep. Don't try to rephrase the question and make it technical. Just go to legal. All this is being
recorded. I agree. That's my fault. I'll stop that. Councilman Bell first, then I'll go back to the public.
If this weren't convoluted enough, and through the years, all that we put up with, and all that the farm families in that area put up with, I am going to read this email into the record, and I want everyone to listen. Okay, this came to my office, to my legislative aide, on March 31st at 8:16 a.m. Brian Boyle called this morning to give you an update on farmland preservation. He said they officially terminated the contract of Warren and Lester Farms. Okay. He also stated that they reached out to the Department of Agriculture to request a one-year extension to be able to work with council and come to a decision on the Gillespie and Lester Farms. Okay? So, sounds like the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing, and it also sounds like, you know, we've got a plan that was in place, we had agreements that were in place, and we couldn't accommodate them agreements. But now, you know, new administration, we're moving forward. I want that on the record.
That's what.
And I also just want on the record that I responded back to the county executive's office advising that I didn't appreciate the fact that the courtesy to call a senior councilman and his council since 2004 and go over what their intent was, because all four of the farms are my district, it's absurd, it's disrespectful, and it's uncalled for.
I saw another hand over here. Was it, ma'am? Okay. Please state your name.
Joan Good. I am a farm owner for the Port Penn Assemblage. I own 133 acres with my siblings. We were part of the Toll Brothers sales agreement. Went through 3 years of good faith in land development, going through all the legals, only to have the county in the 11th hour say, never mind, we changed our minds. Cost us tens of thousands of dollars of legal expenses going through that. The comment made was, it's a legal question. Talk to Newcastle County attorney. I want it on the record. I have hired two lawyers. First of all, we couldn't get a hold of anyone at the county that would respond. Finally, we did, and they said, we're only talking to the plaintiffs. You need to call Mary Jacobson. Mary Jacobson has been given a letter by our attorney. She has been emailed. She has been called. We did not get the courtesy of a response. So we are sitting here in this format asking, after about 15 years, what do we have to do to get Newcastle County to be upfront, no back deals, no squeaky oil gets the wheel? I want to know today, who do I have to talk to be able to get an answer? If I have developers approaching me about my property, can we develop it? Your guess is as good as mine. My attorneys are sitting here scratching their heads. Why didn't they let Toll Brothers pay for it? That's what I want to know. Toll Brothers made every attempt to do every type of sewer system, and it was flat out rejected out of hand. So you tell me, who do I have to talk to?
You understand, there's people in the administration, ma'am, on this side. Right after the meeting, there's Mr. Brian Boyle, there's others. Please set up a meeting with them, or at least talk to them, get your email, your phone number, so they can set a meeting up. You deserve a meeting. I agree with that.
I deserve a meeting.
But I can't say tomorrow morning you got this, or I can't even tell you now any of those legal questions or technical running the meeting.
Well, I just want it on the record,
okay,
that it's not that we haven't reached out to Newcastle County attorney. It's that we have, and they haven't given us
responded
the courtesy
back
of a call back.
Duly noted, ma'am. Sir?
My name is Aliyah Bruno, and I'm an owner in the property on Dutch Neck Road, about 310 acres, but a lot of it, of course, is water and bars. And in 1999, we submitted a plan for septic system, and we were told by after the plan was all ready and ready to be approved and assumed recorded, we were told that we would rather you wait because this is the southern sewer service area. We're going to put sewer here. So we said, fine, that's perfectly fine. So we waited. We waited. And then in 2006, when it sort of like seemed like sewer was coming, they went back to the engineers, hired engineers, they submitted a plan. It was all ready, it was all approved. And we came to town recording. They said, oh, we can't record it yet because the sewer is not there yet. So you have to wait till the sewer gets there. So then at some point I talked to the general manager, Charles Baker at the time, and I this was the time there were suits being filed and so forth. And although I'm an attorney, I don't like to file suits, but I will if I have to. And I said to Charles, I said, look, you know, if they get sewer, what about my property and all the other property in the area? And he said, hey, the county's going to be fair. One person gets sore, everybody's going to get sore. Now, I'm assuming that that is still the county's intention, because it certainly would not be fair to just give it to people that did sue and or this poor pan of sandwich. I think my property is just below the poor pan of sandwich on Dutch Neck Road. So that's just my point that I hope we're going to be fair about it.
Duly noted, sir. Mr. Weiner?
I'm an attorney, but I'm not going to give a legal answer, but I do want to state something for the record, and that is that Mr. Baker's remarks are being translated that anyone on a legal equity basis is entitled to sewer. I would take exception to that because there's no expectancy of sewer or a rezoning, especially in lands that are environmentally sensitive, especially when we have to consider community infrastructure, consider the fact that as a community we have a comprehensive plan that says we want to preserve as much of the Port Penn area as we can as open space. That's it. I just wanted to put that on the record.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick and Councilman Powers.
Thank you. I might suggest to the constituent and the attorney, if you haven't, to look at the opinion, the court opinion, rather than just the agreement, because as I'm remembering it, the court said that Toll Brothers had not gone through the entire process, and that's why they were not going to make a final decision on some of this, is that they didn't go through the department to request through the application form. They only did it in discussion on whether they could build with septic versus sewer. And obviously the density goes down if they build with septic. Mr. Bell, the four, I believe what they're included in now, this next round of preservation with federal money, that was a presentation made before council, and we were given the four applications, the applications from the four applicants that were in that second round. Mary Jacobson made that presentation, and if you get the court opinion, that also did say in there about the entitlement and that there was no basic entitlement to have sewer. So that might be worth reading before you have a discussion with Mary, if she's the one that you get a hold of, or the county attorney, or whoever. I mean, I agree you absolutely need to have that discussion, but you might want to look at the opinion versus just what's in the agreement.
Councilman Powers?
You know, everybody says environmentally sensitive. If we're going to build there, it better be on sewer. Environmentally, it would be a hell of a lot worse. So that whole Pine Valley is all septics. if you're really worrying about the health of the 1,000-acre marsh, it needs to be on sewer, not septics.
Right. I think we actually came to that conclusion, Bill, you and I, years ago. It should have been. But. Okay, anybody else on the public on this side? then I'll get to Councilman Bell because I asked first. There is none, Mr. Bell. Go ahead.
Okay. Just to clarify something. You know, I think, I remember a lot of presentations, and I remember county legal present things. And to this day, and I'll say it on record because I've said it to your face, I don't think they did a very good job in presenting the farmland preservation program that the federal government wanted to do. You know, if I had an attorney like that and I was going into court and I wanted somebody to defend me, certainly wouldn't have hired her, okay? But, and I am not in any way, shape, or form, I want it on the record, criticizing Brian Boyle. I like Brian Boyle. I think he's a nice young man, everything. But I think it's totally inappropriate with something this important to a district council person that all four farms and farm families are within that district and more farms, that it seems that transition teams and others have more input, more direction, okay, than some of the folks on this council. So that's, I was really disheartened by that. Wasn't against Brian Boyle, but I think the administration could have taken the time to sit down and go over what their path forward was and what their plan was.
Well, yes. Well, stand up and say your name, Mr. Terabitis.
Yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Members of Council, I didn't plan to speak. I don't represent any property owners. I have no client in the Port Pencor, but I'm very interested in the discussion. I think it's an incredibly important discussion because it plays into the comprehensive plan and what the county's trying to accomplish. Coming from me as a development attorney, let me simply say that I agree with Councilman Weiner and Councilman Bell that the Port Bend Corridor is unique and it's special. And I spent most of Sunday actually in southern New Castle County visiting all the different projects that my clients are doing, not the least of which is the town of Whitehall, which became authorized under Councilman Cartier's legislation on adopting the Smart Code. There are a couple more villages coming up, my understanding, in the central core. So you're talking about thousands and thousands of homes that are permitted in the central core. Driving around the central core, I saw thousands and thousands of open acres that are going to be developed. And that's where our comprehensive plan is sending it. We are asking people to invest millions of dollars in developing these villages. And if you put SOAR out here, you're giving people the easy opportunity to develop properties inconsistent with what the county's goals are. And the Port Penn Corridor is, I will say, a very unique area that if you were going to preserve, I would say that's where you want to preserve. You focus on the central core. Town of Middletown's growing and it's not slowing down. And so we know where the growth is happening. Having said that, I think if you're going to put sewer in this area, then you better sewer the entire area. It's the only way you can do it. I'll state a legal opinion and tell you that I've read the agreements. I know where they stand. I've discussed them with people at the county. The county, I think, understands what their obligation is. And frankly, I think Ms. Kilpatrick hit the nail on the head. If the agreement targets 630 homes, then you need to size it for 630 homes. If you need to size it for 630 homes, then you might as well size it for 5,000 homes because it's going to be the same size. And I'm not an engineer, but I know how it works. So I'm just saying get ready, because what you're going to do is if you don't preserve this property, then you are going to open it all up for development, because you will sewer the entire area, and you will work against all of your other intentions and plans, which are to comprehensively develop the central core of the villages and hamlets, because this will be the path of least resistance. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, sir. Councilman Tackett has joined us. I had you down anyway. Councilman Solomon, did you have your hand up? Or yeah. I'm going to give
motion to return to regular order of business.
Thank you, sir. You took the words out of my hand. In case for some reason we don't get to the Brandywine 100, I know this is really important to staffing potential additional forestry crew. Who on Special Services is speaking on that?
I was. Okay. Did you go to the forestry?
Yes, staff? I'm going to go to number four. I'm really out of order.
No, that's fine. And
I'm just up against the clock here.
No, I understand. And actually, really short. I don't have a PowerPoint for this. I think the question really was, is there a need for another forestry crew? So I thought I would just give you some basic information about what we currently have, and then what costs or considerations would be given if we were to add one. Because it's something the department has honestly talked about and debated, particularly the past few years, but I think it's also very challenging, you know, with the fiscal situation to add, you know, new employees at this point. So it's been kind of a tough discussion that we've been having internally as well. We currently have a forestry crew of 6 personnel. There's 1 forestry tech that has an administrative function. He inspects the areas and prioritizes and manages the contractors, etc. We have a crew of 5 employees with one tree surgeon and 4 tree trimmers. We supplement that with contractual work currently. And I should say we have 250 parks, 6,000 acres. We have all the county pump stations. We have the treatment plants. We have the libraries. I mean, trees aren't just the parks, right? Mm-hmm. They impact all of our facilities. So I think it is a very large service area for that crew. I think it averages 1 employee for every 1,200 acres. It's specialized work. It's not something that we can give to just a general MNC or trades helper. It is a very specialized type of work and oftentimes quite dangerous. So we take it very seriously that people have the proper training and that the crews are going out there with adequate people on the crew to staff. You know, we want to make sure that they're able to do that work safely. I'm looking real quick on contractual. I think we spend about $55,000 on contracted jobs a year right now. Another challenge we have had is that with our low bid process, sometimes it's challenging. We had 3 of the contractors drop out over the past year. And I think what we also noticed, storm events like we had just several weeks ago, a contractor's low bid to us, well, they're getting premium rates after a storm to help other people, so we don't tend to get maybe the priority service for the contract from the contractors that I think that we can provide residents ourselves. So I think that I just kind of wanted to give you an overview of the crew and what it does and how we try to meet the demand. We currently have about 122 work orders outstanding. A large storm like we had a few weeks ago can easily generate about 100 work orders, which we then prioritize based on the severity of the circumstances, and then we use our crew with the contractors over time. But that's how we've been operating. With all that said, I mean, we've talked about it a lot internally. I'm just sharing with you what we've talked about. I think it provides a valuable service. I know you get a lot of the calls. I think it's also been very challenging over the past 10 years, frankly, not just this year, to add another full crew. That would be about $300,000 starting at a step one. Your base salary with benefits would be about a $300,000 addition to the operating budget. So,
and is that, that's a crew of 5?
That's a crew of 5, okay. Correct.
Councilman Hollins.
Thank you. Is that included in your budget?
It is not included, no. I was just asked to speak on it today. I think a couple of different council members had asked whether a crew could be added. But no, it's something we've talked about, but frankly, when it comes through the budget cycle, again, the justification with all the parameters put on where we have to keep our budget, yeah. And we're already have, you know, a significant number of vacancies really in our department, it's been very difficult to justify adding a whole new crew.
Was this presented to the administration during your budget presentation to the administration?
It was presented when we first went through the process with the last administration, frankly, mm-hmm. And we were, did it get there or was it in the department? It was put forward, maybe it was even in the department that it didn't go further just because of the instructions we were given on any improvements. They're called PIRs as we go through the budget process. And we were given pretty strict direction. We had also requested a stormwater inspector, for those of you familiar with that program and the demands there. And the guidelines were really no added positions to the budget. And so that was really the last administration, and then that's the budget that went through with this one.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I guess speaking for myself, now I'll go to Mr. Cartier, we do have vacancies in other areas that are not funded. I mean, they're funded, but vacancies.
Correct.
I guess just the main question is, what I have to answer, is how come we can't take those vacancies and move them into this portion of special services?
No, that's
I had a state senator call me. It just started snowing. The trees didn't even come down. He already called. What is going to be a problem? We get that constantly, as she can tell you. I got to a point where I hate trees. I mean, really, it's just my representatives and senators call and just go nuts on me. So I was one of the people that brought it up, and I'll get to Mr. Cartier yet in a second and Mr. Diller, but I tell you, if there's any way you can work magic, I know on our side it's...
No, and I see it also, really. We've had the discussions. I'm not... What's tough is if you look at the past 10 years, I think our department was 420 10 years ago, and we're about, 375 now? So we've gone down 20-25% over the past decade, and more of that has been on the general fund side, which this would be, versus sewer funds. And so those positions that are vacant, they're hurting us. I mean, I think as much as Paul sees the value in the crew, he can tell you that, you know, the vacancies in his shop that he needs just to keep up with our parks and the grass mowing, we're hurting, yeah, because the general fund side's been cut a little bit more strictly than the sewer fund side, even over the past decade. So that's, I think that's our challenge.
Okay.
But it's something, I did talk to the administration a little bit about it, and I do think it's something that they're willing to talk about, maybe for more so maybe for the next budget cycle, or look at a way to maybe do it more creatively. Could we get two helpers and just add those to the current staff of six and create two crews? Or can we look at some way to do it and minimize the impact on our budget? Can we do it and cut contractual? I think that we see it also. I think we're willing to look at it. It's just
that's
the positions have been tough.
Okay. Mr. Cartier.
Thank you. I went to a community in Claymont. They rebuilt their civic association. It's called Northridge. Northridge abuts Lesher Park. And I'm just saying, this is an example of the hazard that we're subjecting communities to. Okay, this isn't like a wish list that is, happenstance or just wouldn't that be nice. We are subjecting communities along the boundaries of our parks that have mature trees to very hazardous situations. And I went through this community in January, and I saw massive trees that are basically threatening multiple residential properties along a boundary line. And I'm not talking, something that's just 6 inches or 8 inches. I'm talking 2 foot, 7,500 feet in the air, waiting to fall on houses. Now, I went through that. They drew my attention to it. Now, we just went through this crazy storm event with all the ice. And sure enough, one of those trees fell out of the park. Now, we got real lucky that day because it simply took out a power line. But it could have cleaved the house in half with all the occupants in it. So I don't think it's something we can sit back and play around with. And I don't care what you got to do. You got to get a forestry crew together to get on top of this stuff, to get ahead of it. Because I need probably a dozen large trees removed from Lesher Park right now. Okay, this isn't a matter, this is public safety. This isn't, a nice event. This is public safety. And the fact that we are 150, I'm hearing 150 work orders behind, that doesn't even count. I could probably generate for your department 100 work orders alone if I went out through all the different properties that adjoin our parks that are really large trees. Not blasting anybody in the department. I just think as a county government, the administration and council, we got to get serious about this. It's not a real heavy lift for this government. We have funded vacant positions. Okay. I mean, please figure it out, all right? Otherwise, we're going to get that phone call. Forestry is very dangerous. One of the fatalities in this area happened in my district. Well, there could be other fatalities. It's called residential homeowners who join the parks. So we're just lucky. We've just been very lucky. We got very lucky in this storm, in my opinion. And I'm just, you know, I'm kind of like at wit's end with this. Why we can't respond to an obvious need for another crew. So what we need to do is handle the work orders we have now and get ahead of the problem. We should be able to go proactively look at parks and say, and paint trees. That's got to go. That's got to go. I mean, it's not that difficult, but we need to get ahead of this. I mean, I don't want to get a phone call. I mean, it's one thing to get a phone call from other elected officials. I don't want to get a phone call, oh, John, your constituents you just met, their house got destroyed and a child died. Okay? I don't need that phone call. None of us do. I'm done.
Councilwoman Dillon.
Yeah, I think the issue, to echo what you said, is that we have neighborhoods that are now backing up against parks with old growth trees. Exactly what happened, what you feared, happened to me over Thanksgiving weekend. Tree goes down, hits the roof of a house. We were lucky, nobody was killed. Tree came from the park. Paul was great. You know, Delmarva was great. They came out. But the problem is that in August, the family had written me a letter, which we had passed on to Special Services, saying, this has to be done. These are dead trees. We're going to have one come down. And they did. And, you know, these are old developments. They're old trees. We've got to have some kind of a boundary between the trees and people. And if you have to move vacant positions to do this, you know, council is sympathetic. Because I can tell you, I did get the call. Luckily, nobody died. But, you know, I had a guy 70 years old crawling around on the roof, you know, at night trying to figure out what had happened when the tree hit the house. Like, who wants that? So we got to get on top of this. And so if you need to do techs, I'm fine. If you need to move vacant positions into a five-person crew, I'm good with that. But I'm telling you that the longer we wait, the more we risk exactly what Councilman Cartier says. And I don't want to get that phone call because I came too close already. I'm done.
Anybody? Okay. I think it's been duly stated on here. Councilman Tiger, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tracy, you know, it's all going to come down to a matter of management and what your budget is and what it's going to do. I mean, obviously, we've got issues, we've got problems. You say there's 120, whatever, to 150 work orders sitting out there. What are you on an average? Is that a high number? Is that a low number? And it's something you're going to have to figure out and work on internally. Funded vacant positions come to us each and every budget. It isn't nothing new. You just didn't show up with funded vacant positions this last budget. I've been here 12 years, and for 12 years there's been funded vacant positions. So that money goes somewhere because it's in your budget. So let's get those positions. Let's get them utilized. Let's get them over to where they need to be and try to figure out where we are. Because as you're hearing, you know, we've got a lot of issues with the trees, our parks, and, you know, we're going to have to get it under control. And to say that many, I don't know how many you can do a day, how many you can do a week, if that's a manageable number, if that's not a manageable number, that's up to you and your management team. So I guess, you know, we're looking for some answers.
Okay. I'll go back and look at our budget and have conversations.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Councilman Smiley.
I'm just going to quickly state, we have had funded vacancies throughout the 12 years I've been here. And we will see as this budget process goes forward that this county executive is unfunding a lot of those vacancies. Although the vacancies will stay, the funding will be pulled away in order to balance this budget. So we will have to see what's left to work with.
From council's recommendation here, John, I know the number three is yours, but I know that's a good long presentation. Can we put this on next special services?
Yeah, I have no problem with that as long as we're going to handle it in, you know, timely fashion. I have no problem.
I promise. We'll definitely make sure it's on. So, thank you very much for that. And special services, don't mind, we'll just come back. So, for no further business, anything under other? Mr. Lou?
Bob Wander's office. I think it's important that everyone also hear that Paul Johnson and Dave Swift, with calls from our office, have always been as responsive.
Oh, agree.
Absolutely. Yes.
For what they have.
Yeah. We'll put that on record, Lou, but yeah, Paul's been, you know, I hear from other council people telling me, because we're on special services, how great a job Paul's doing. That's, yes, Jeff's.
Leave here with the understanding tomorrow's another day.
Yeah, don't, yeah. Leave here happy and tomorrow expect the worst.
Make sure he's following
me
around for a couple
of days. Just leave tomorrow when it's not done crack. Motion adjourned.
Motion made, second, all in favor?
Aye.
Could we?